Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Gotta admit, Mark Schlereth, I was feeling a little bit sad yesterday.
Were you now?
A little melancholy.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. What happened?
Well, here's what happened,
big fella?
Here's what was happening.
Some little filly break your heart?
No. So okay. What was happening was the fine folks in our digital department, the likes of James Merrillat and Kendall Valenzuela, asking us to do sort of a, what are the hosts up to while they're at home type thing.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so I decided to, put together kind of like a little video.
Oh, wow.
And, it was good. It was okay. I got my kids to help.
Right.
But, man, I missed you. Missed you. I missed Scotty.
Yeah.
I missed our collaborating efforts.
Yes.
The memory of Miami and South Beach still so vivid and the great work we did down there and... I don't know. It's just...
It wasn't the same, huh? Should have just shot a video of you just kicking a rock down the street by yourself. Right?
It's like Coppola not working with Pacino,
Yeah.
It's like Lucas not working with Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Man, that is sad.
It's like... Ronald McDonald not working with Grimace.
Oh gosh, or the Hamburglar.
Or the Hamburglar.
Man, oh man.
So anyway,
you get through it, all right?
I got through it. We'll see. We'll see how the finished product turns out. But I missed you guys. Missed you.
Yeah, I miss you guys. I miss coming in. Do you,
Mark Schlereth, with your grueling 16-step commute?
I really do. I don't. Hey, man. I'm stuck at home all the time.
It's true.
it's like I want to put the gang back together, man.
Right.
So I feel your pain. I feel your pain on your video. So anyhow, but hopefully this shall pass soon and we'll be back together again.
Well, in the meantime, we continue to press on and plenty of news continues to be made. From the folks in the NFL and Todd McShay, normally mock drafts come and go and I give him a quick look just to kind of see, quick perusal the beauty of the mock drafts, it gives you a sense of the players, the pool of players that will be available likely when your team's chance comes to pick. Okay. But here's what was interesting about McShay's. To me, this is like the perfect scenario for what the Broncos would do in the first two rounds. You ready for this?
Yes.
At number 15, he has the Broncos taking Andrew Thomas, tackle, Georgia.
That, oh my gosh.
Tell me about him.
Well, first off, I'd do backflips. All right. So, very aggressive. Got good feet, good athletic ability, very aggressive, like comes off the ball. Listen, good sets, not great sets, has to improve there, but you're talking about an elite level player at the left tackle position. And here's what even makes me more excited. So I've done my due diligence. I've looked at the tape, but more than that, I've actually made the phone calls. I've talked to a couple of coaches around the league that I know, a couple of offensive line coaches, that's what their evaluation process is. And I talked to a good friend of mine that I trust, I trust him, I trust his eyes as much as I trust anybody on the planet. And not only did he work him out, but he spent some time individually with him and said the guy, football acumen wise, was the sharpest guy he talked to. Understood fronts, understood defensive rotations, understood nickel packages, just understood what they were trying to do, accomplishes an offense and what the defense was trying to do to them. He said this guy is an elite level above the neck football player. On top of being super aggressive, Great feet, big body, you know, I mean, he, like, legitimate, the real deal. And so that would be music to my ears. You know, it was interesting because this morning I got up and, you know, I always kind of, I do, there's a couple different things I do. First off, you know me, I get coffee, right? Second thing I do every morning is I do a devotional. So I spend some time doing a devotional, spend some time in prayer. And then I sat down here in the study and I just try to catch up on some COVID-19 news stuff, right? I think we all do that, don't we? Kind of go through and see what's going on.
Sure.
And I watched the governor of New York, Cuomo, say something, and it was just an interview, you know, I just kind of watched this interview, but he said something that is so poignant. I ended up tweeting it out. I tweeted the video out, but he said something so poignant at the end of this, and you know, there's a lot of hullabaloo before it about, you know, what's going on. But he said, you never win a battle fighting the last one. And it's such an important mindset to have. Like, you're going to get your butt whipped sometimes, right? Move on and fight the next battle. And for the Broncos, you'll never win the battle if you're not willing to admit the mistake you made at the left tackle position at number 20 overall 3 years ago, and you continue to go down that road. You just won't. And so there's part of me that loves that thought process of saying, hey guys, you know what? Let's move on and let's figure out the next battle, because we're not going to win fighting the last one. You know, you lose a game, you can't win. You're never going to get that win back. Like that Jacksonville loss that we had in 1996. You're never going to get that win by lamenting that game. You can learn from it, but no matter what you do, you have to learn from it, and you have to figure out and fix the things that you weren't doing well because of what cost you that game. But you'll never get it back by sitting there and pining over it. So you've got to be able to move forward. And that was kind of just a little, I wrote it down in my book, you know, just a thought, like you can't win fighting those battles of the past. You have to move on and fight the next battle.
Now, continuing on with McShay's 2-round mock, so he's got Andrew Thomas, mm-hmm. which, you know, I'd be, you know me, my theory is O-line, D-line, or front seven on defense. I'm happy if that's the direction you go.
Okay, let me
in
take
the first round.
Let me take a guess.
Second round, pick number 46.
Okay, let me take a guess on where McShay is going to go. I don't know the name, obviously, because I haven't looked, but I'm going to say he's going to go wide receiver in the second round because Absolutely. It just makes sense.
Absolutely. I have no interest in them taking a receiver in the first round. Absolutely want to see them take one in the second round. And how about this one? He's got the Broncos taking CU's Laviska Shenault.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I like that.
I'd love that. I'm not interested in some burner. Give me guys with size. I mean, that's what I'm interested in when it comes to receivers. And Shenault, 6'2", 220. Okay, so he had some injuries this year. Fine. But, boy, 2018, I mean, if you can just focus on that, 86 catches, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, just dynamic all over the field.
Right.
Wow, you get that guy? And you get Andrew Thomas in the first round and Shenault in the second. That is a dream scenario for me when it comes to the draft. Your thoughts on it? Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043. We know a lot of you may be working different hours now or not commuting at all. You can still listen to us at home. We're streaming right now at 1043thefan.com. You can download the free fan app, or if you have a smart speaker, enable our skill on Alexa. Coming up, I continue my crusade why the Broncos should not take a wide receiver at 15, and hard evidence to prove my case next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.
All right, Mark, as you know, I'm on a crusade.
Yes, you are.
And my crusade is to do everything possible to try to convince the Broncos not to take a receiver in the first round at number 15. I just think it's a waste. And I've got facts. I've got evidence. Hardcore on my side. So I went back. I went back to 2012.
Right.
Okay? Good solid 8-year span, right?
That's pretty good. That is a pretty good sample size,
yes,
as they say.
Yes. And by the way, you know, part of the reason I do that, like my man D-Mac always likes to try to make his case for drafting quarterbacks in the first round by taking the entire history of the NFL into play, which is makes no sense because the game changes. It evolves. The position evolves. What's happening in college changes, evolves. And so to say that you can make a case for 2020 based on, you know, what guys were doing in 1990 just doesn't make sense. So that's why I tend to look more at, like, you know, 8 to 10 year, most recent 8 to 10 year windows. All right. As I go through these list of receivers that were taken in the first round, I just simply want you to place them in one of three categories: below average, average, or above average.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, this is fun.
Okay, these are receivers taken in the first round since 2012. 29 of them. 29. Yeah. Big sample size. Here we go. Justin Blackmon.
Oh, below average. Well, this is hard because he had all kinds of off the field issues.
I don't care. How did it work out?
He was below average.
How did it work out?
He was below average.
That's what I'm saying. How did it work out? All right, so you just put a little mark in each category. Folks can play along at home too.
Hold on.
Play along at home.
I've got an assignment now.
Yeah, I'm giving you all an assignment, okay? I'm going to give you 29 first round receivers taken over the last 8 years. I want you to place them three categories: below average, average, or above average. And I hope that you know that in order to put a guy in the above average category, you know, he's got to be above average. You know what I mean? Okay.
Above right. Average and below average.
Okay.
Okay.
So you got one in the below average. Michael Floyd.
Michael Floyd. That is a below average receiver.
Keep going. Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright is an average guy. He's a slot guy. He actually played pretty well back in his day, but he's just an average. He's a guy.
Okay. AJ Jenkins.
Yeah, I've never heard of him. I'll put him below average.
Tavon Austin. Nice special teams player, yeah. But below average as a receiver.
Yes.
Okay. Cordarrelle Patterson. Same thing.
He's a really good special teams player.
Exactly.
But as a receiver, he's below average.
Okay. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously.
Above average.
Okay. Sammy Watkins.
I'm going to say Sammy. He's bounced around. He's going to be an average guy for me because he's a really good player. But if you're drafted fourth overall or whatever, you're supposed to be a superstar in the city you were drafted in.
Correct. And I'm glad you said that. That's an important point. File that away. Then you got me.
Mike Evans is an above average guy.
OBJ.
OBJ. Oh, see, I have a tough time putting.
I wondered how you would do this.
I just don't like him. I'm going to put him at average because I don't like him.
Okay. All right. See, I'd probably put him above average, but okay. Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks is average.
Okay. Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, is that,
start with the Bills, I believe, right?
Calvin.
Big guy.
Yeah. That's below average.
Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper is, average.
Okay. Kevin White.
Kevin White's below average.
Devontae Parker,
below average.
Nelson Aguilar
he's an average receiver.
Yep. Rashard Perriman
is a first rounder. Wow. I would say average, but I'm going to put, he still has a chance, but right now he's in the below average category because he's a first rounder that has not found his way.
Right. Philip Dorsett.
Philip Dorsett's an average player.
Corey Coleman,
I'm going to go below average.
Yep. Will Fuller.
I am going to go average.
Yeah.
Can't stay healthy.
I think if he could stay healthy, he'd be above average, but.
Well, I think he would have a chance. Even even when he's healthy, he's not an above average guy. Right. He's had DeAndre Hopkins on the other side of him.
Right.
You know, of course. All right.
Josh Doxson.
I would rather have a wiener dog Doxson.
Laquon Treadwell.
I'm going to go below average on that.
Now we're kind of starting to get, well, no, not yet. We're Corey Davis.
Corey Davis from Tennessee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fifth overall pick. I'm going to go below average. Like, he just has, I mean, maybe average. Maybe he's an average. He's a starter. Let's give him an average just because I'm trying to be kind. But for the fifth overall pick, for you not to be, like, the second rounder last year dwarfed you in everything. So I'm going to go average, and that's being kind.
Mike Williams.
I'm trying to think. Mike Williams.
Chargers, right?
Oh yeah, he's been average.
Yeah.
He can't stay healthy.
John Ross.
Below average.
And then, maybe a couple guys that might fall into a bit of an incomplete, but you can project whatever. DJ Moore
from,
Carolina.
Carolina. Oh God. He's actually been really good.
Yeah.
I don't know where he was. I've done a bunch of games. I would put him above average.
That's fine.
He's a really good player.
That's fine. Calvin Ridley.
Calvin's been very good for them. Of course, they've got somebody on the other side that you probably heard of in Julio Jones. I'm going to say Calvin has been, he's been what you've expected him to be, a number two receiver. So that's average, right?
Okay. Hollywood Brown,
it's kind of early, but yeah. He was good. He was really good last year. I'm just going to put him in the average category because it's to be determined.
Yeah. And N'Keal Harry,
right now, he'd be in the below average category.
Right. Okay. So Mark, over the last 8 years, 29 receivers have been taken in the first round. How many do you have that are above average?
Three. One questionable because I don't like him in OBJ.
Okay. And how many of those three are still with the original team that drafted him?
DeAndre Hopkins is no longer there.
Now that one I'll put, that one I'll almost just pass off as
stupidity.
Yeah. So like, you know, he's still with Houston. I mean, he should still be with Houston.
Who are the three we had in there?
That are still, that are above average?
No, yeah, they're above average.
You had me, OBJ, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Just you. You're the only one that's still with the team that drafted him.
Correct. So, I mean, if the Broncos are going to, in a draft that is considered one of the deepest in recent memory at wide receiver, if you are going to take a receiver at 15, it has got to be with the idea that this guy is going to be not only your number one receiver, he instantly jumps over Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant to become your number one pass catcher, because that's where you're drafting him. That's what you're drafting him to be. Not only does he have to do that, but he needs to become a star receiver who is with your team for a second contract. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
That's the idea behind it. So, in the last 8 years, we've only come up with, out of almost 30 receivers taken in the first round, only three that come close to reaching those criteria, and only one is actually still with the team he was drafted by. And you want, and I'm saying you, the folks out there who are banging the drum for them to take a, that's what you want to fly in the face of. Okay. That's why,
but you know,
taking a receiver would be a colossal mistake.
But you understand the thought process. That's everybody else, Mike. Under our expert, you know, evaluation, and with our, that's how these guys think.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's, I mean, you have to understand kind of the, and I'm not putting that on the Broncos. I'm not putting that on John Elway. I'm not putting, you know, I got to be careful, right? Everybody gets hurt feelings. I'm not putting that on them. I'm just saying that's the groupthink mentality of general manager. Why do you think general managers and scouts have complained about not having the extra time? You know, why do you think they've complained about having the draft on time? Because they're actually going to have to do their job, right? Because they don't have qualifiers now. They're going to actually have to Skype people. They're going to have to actually look at film. They're going to actually have to do this without being able to poke and prod and to make excuses. Right? You're going to have to, you can't go to the campus and work a dude out and see him run, right? And so you're going to have to look and evaluate film. And you know what that does for you? It doesn't give you a built-in excuse. Well, listen, he ran a, you know, Garrett Bowles was unbelievable. He ran a 4.940 and he moved, he had one of the greatest head combine workouts in the history of the left tackle position. It must be the guys coaching him, right? We've got a built-in excuse. And that goes, that's not the Broncos. That's everybody.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm not piling this on the Broncos, but you're right. Those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. So I just laid out the history. Don't repeat it. Okay. Coming up next, got the morning brew for you and words that I never thought I'd ever say in my life. I'm about ready to say next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat like me, and you're gonna crack
for me. Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stuff.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on!
Each conference has their own agenda, what they want to do. But if enough conferences say, this is what we want, then it'll happen. And right now, that's what I'm hearing, that the conferences want to be able to give their spring sports another opportunity.
That is Gino Auriemma, head coach of the UConn women's basketball team, as the NCAA, words I never thought I'd say right here, the NCAA did the right thing, as they have granted an extra year of eligibility for all those athletes that play spring sports. Well done?
Yes. Well, I mean, well done. You know what? My wife and I were on a walk just, I guess, probably yesterday, the day before, whatever it was, and we're talking about this. Like, you know, I mean, we had a son that was a college baseball player. Could you imagine right now if this is the year you're looking to get drafted and everything else, and bam, this thing happens to you? The high school kids, the high school baseball players, and whatever. I don't know what the other spring sports are, but I'm sure there are plenty. Maybe
lacrosse. DU has a powerhouse program here, and their seniors will come back if they want to. Now, that's the other question. If you were playing one of those sports where you looked and you could correctly, I guess, kind of gauge your ceiling as an athlete, and you were ready to graduate, would you necessarily accept that extra year of eligibility just to hang around in college another year, even if you know you're not going to go on to the pros in your sport? Would you just hang around for an extra year? Hey, another year of college, go out, play with the fellas, all that kind of stuff? Or would you move on with life?
Absolutely. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're right.
Hang around for another year in college?
I think I just kind of answered my own question.
Yeah, right? As you were in the midst of that, you started to realize how stupid you sounded.
That's true. Next on the Morning Brew.
If they're able to play baseball at all this year, and that is a big if, but if they're able to play, they might as well, within reason, try out every idea that has been on the table over the last few years and see what flies.
That is Bob Costas, my broadcasting idol, by the way, for what it's worth. So Major League Baseball players starting to react to the possibility of a compressed season, but, you know, a season that could really involve trying to jam as many games in as possible. And Cincinnati Reds catcher, player rep Tucker Barnhart is really concerned about player safety. Quote, the player safety piece is a big thing. Moving forward, I don't think you can do things that are going to compromise the integrity of next season as well. And what I mean by that is forcing the issue of getting so many games in that you risk injury and you risk major injury to players because you're trying to get in as many games as you can. You know, this comes back to the idea of trying to play a doubleheader every single week. Do these players have a legitimate beef or should they suck it up?
No, I think there's a legitimate beef there. I mean, you got to do everything you can to, you know, obviously to play as many as you can. You're just not going to get them all. I just don't believe you're going to get them all in, Mike. I mean, but, you've got to do something. And so, you know, I look at that like, hey, guys, there's going to have to be some type of compromise. Obviously, that's why, you know, you have a union and you have a players association and you have those negotiable factors. But, you know, I mean, you've got to understand the business model as well. If they don't get their games in, it's hard for them to, you know, it's hard for them to continue to make the money. And ultimately, you'll probably pay for it the next year. You know, I mean, you pay for it before, right? When they just quit handing out contracts for a year and a half or 2 years. So, you know, they're gonna find a way to squeeze you anyhow. So, I mean, you gotta come to some type of reasonable agreement that, you get as many games in as possible.
Yeah, and Barnhart, for one, gets it, and he says, it goes without saying that as players, we want to play as many games as possible, not only because we love playing, but we also want to make as much money as possible. That's the God honest truth about it. Next on the Morning Brew.
Wednesday rolled around and we were able to talk to Tom Brady. We had a great conversation, Bruce and I. We talked to him for over an hour and a half, and he made it clear in the conversation that he was very, very interested. It was almost like a recruitment on his part, telling us why it would make sense for him to come to Tampa Bay.
How about that? Jason Light, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Bucks, says it was more Tom Brady courting the Bucks than the Bucks courting Brady. Boy, that just seems weird, doesn't it?
It does seem weird that you have played for as long as you have played. You have six world championships on your fingers, and you have to go out and sell yourself. Well, I tell you what, though, it says a lot about Brady, doesn't it?
Well, it says how much he wanted to get away from Belichick.
Well, it does that, but also the fact that, you know, we as people tend to, pride is just ugly, right? And pride can get in your way of accomplishing so many things. Like, it takes some humility to go out there and you make the calls and say, this is why, you know, I believe that I'm a good fit for you. As opposed to going like, I'm not going to call anybody. Look at what I've done. Like, they need to be calling me. No, he's going out and proactively, you know, looking for work. I appreciate that about anybody who will kind of swallow that pride and go out there and sell themselves. So good for him, man. Good on Brady. It's just another reason I love him. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Stunning. Next on the Morning Bro.
Anywhere I go, I'm happy. And I know it sounds kind of cheesy and politically correct, but it's not. I'm excited to wherever I go. I just want to play football for as long as I can. And to be given a chance to be here at this place is enough for me. And I'm excited to be here. I want to get better, do everything I can to play football for as long as I can.
That is Justin Herbert, or Hebert, whatever your name is,
mm-hmm.
who had a video interview with the Raiders yesterday. Now, do you think that the Raiders could... Now, they already have Derek Carr. Uh-huh. They already have Marcus Mariota.
Right.
Is this a case of them legitimately being interested in Justin Herbert, or is this, as you like to say about John Gruden, there's never been a quarterback that he hasn't fallen in love with?
Yeah, listen, this is them doing their due diligence. This is John Gruden seeing. This is not him already being in love with somebody. This is seeing if he might be able to fall in love with somebody.
Right.
Right? I mean, and one thing about John, like, John wants guys that really understand, have a passion for the game, but understand the game. Like, he gets excited about guys who really know what the heck is going on. And this is his way of saying, hey, man, you know, I mean, if we're sitting in a situation where I think we've hit a ceiling with our quarterback, will I move on from that guy? Absolutely. But I need to know the guy that I'm going to pick has got football, first and foremost, football acumen. Guy just has an understanding of the game. So that's John Gruden's, like, that whole Gruden football camp thing was more about, when you talk to him about that, man, it was about finding out what guys knew about the game, how smart guys were, why guys did what they did. That's what he wants. So, you know, this is to him, I'm sure, a fact-finding mission, if nothing else.
I like how you got in the, you know, got to do that, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll tell you what, man. This guy is so smart.
Amen. Now, I'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you every morning at 6:30. Coming up, we're going to visit with our 9 News Bronco insider, Mike Kliss, who will tell us if he has clarity now after free agency is come and gone as to what the Broncos will now do at the top of the draft. That's next. All right, let's hook up with our buddy 9 News Bronco insider, Mike Kliss. joins us. Michael, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
Well, you know, Michael, we're just kind of chopping it up about the Broncos after free agency and what their draft plans are. Any clarity for you on now that this kind of free agency is wrapping up, any clarity for you on what they might do coming up in this draft?
It still remains the same. They didn't get a receiver. They we talked about this last week that they made a bid for Nelson Aguilar, and, you know, like you said, Mark, it wasn't, he was not going to take care of that speed component. They wanted opposite Cortland Sutton. They're going to have a receiver in the first two rounds. I keep saying that. This is the deepest receiver class there's been since, you know, I don't know, the Cody Latimer class. When they took Cody Latimer in the second round, by the way. So they're going to take one in the first two rounds. Whether they take one of the big three, if they're one of their, you know, putting Ruggs, I guess, in with Judy and Lamb at number 15, or they wait till number 46 and they take a cornerback or offensive tackle, or, you know, trade back and pick up an extra second round pick. But they're going to wind up with a receiver in the first two rounds. And then, you know, what they missed out on, you can't get everybody that you want in free agency because, you know, they do have a salary cap, but they want another cornerback, you know, for three. If you remember in 2014, they had Chris Harris and Aqib Talib, and with their first pick, they took Bradley Roby. So they had three there. So that's another option. Then, of course, if one of those offensive tackles that they really love is there, maybe they take one of them at 15. There's also some thought that there'd be a good offensive tackle available in the second round. So based on free agency, you know what they need, what they have left over that they need, and receiver's going to be one, and then cornerback / offensive tackle would probably be the other pick.
Visit with Mike Kliss. Mike, I know the Broncos have been very successful with getting defensive linemen this year, but Shelby Harris is a one-year deal. Jarrell Casey's basically a two-year deal. So in terms of young defensive linemen in the pipeline, really the only guy you can point to is Draymond Jones. So what about the idea that if, let's say, Javon Kinlaw is available at 15, could you see them going in that direction, even though it would be an obvious futures pick?
No, I don't think so. Because you just went heavy on defensive line and free agency, and to double up and do defensive line again, I mean, this is a team coming off of 5-11, 6-10, 7-9. You know, if they wanted to do that, they could have brought Wolf back for, you know, 1 year and $3 million. I think they could use a younger defensive lineman, yes, but I don't think it's a priority for 2020. I think they got to go a different direction. Look, Elway said, right away, in the off season, that the priority was to get Drew Lock more weapons. The priority for this team is to try to keep up on the scoreboard with the Kansas City Chiefs. And they still need some work. I thought, you know, Melvin Gordon is a nice addition. But that's about it on offense so far. And they got Graham Glasgow to fill right guard. But if you're going to keep up in a track meet, you know, you better get some sprinters. And that's what I think this team needs, and they have to go out there and address the offense, I think, in the draft.
You know, one of the interesting things about that, Mike, though, is, yeah, everybody on Kansas City can run. You know, you got Hardman in the second round. He runs fast. You got Robinson runs fast. Obviously, Tyreek Hill runs fast. Travis Kelce. I get the weapon aspect of it. but consistently, probably more than anybody else in football, they get five receivers out in the pattern and they go 5-0 protection. Five guys up front, you guys lock it down. That's the difference with the Kansas City Chiefs, is they hold up, and when they do break down, you know, they've got a quarterback that can make things happen. So I would ask you, right, as part of that weaponry that we talk about, are there plans to address this offensive line that has consistently underperformed, you know, for the last, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah, right now, if you look at that offensive line, and they've tried. I don't know what the there's been like this rabbit hole at right tackle. You know, they throw, for a while they were throwing $6 million a year at the right tackle position. Donald Stevenson, Menelik Watson. They tried moving over Tyson Brilo. Now they threw big money at Juwan James. That made sense. And nothing is, I don't know what the problem is at right tackle. It's been a cursed position for this team. They need Juwan James, obviously, to come through. They still got a heavy investment in him, guaranteed investment. So Juwan James, Graham Glasgow, you know, at center, I think they like Patrick Morris, and I know there hadn't been a whole lot of talk about him, but he was acquired late in the season. He was with Munchak in Pittsburgh for a year, and Munchak likes him, so there's a possibility there. Or you address in the draft, maybe high in the draft. You're fine at left guard, and then left tackle. Garrett Bowles is in his fourth year. Elijah Wilkinson, they signed. Between those two, I think that's going to be their answer. We'll see. We'll see where the Broncos think about that with that number 15 pick. I mean, offensive tackle is a possibility at 15 if one of those big three guys, the Louisville guy, the Iowa guy, and who's the other one?
Well, you've got the Georgia kid, Andrew Thomas, then you've got Jedrick Wills. Kid,
right, Andrew, yeah. Thomas, yeah. Those are the top three. If one of those three are there, maybe they like Austin, the USC guy, Austin Jackson, I think is his name,
yep, mm-hmm,
in the second round. You know, or maybe they like him enough to take him at 15. But, you know, we'll see. And then you take the receiver in the second round. That's a possibility. There's clearly two strategies for Elway because of the deep receiver class. You know, do you try to hit it big at 15, or do you try to take a good one in the second round? And I understand both of them. I guess when it's deep, it makes more sense to go in the second round and take a cornerback or an offensive tackle at number 15. But we'll see. I'm kind of advocating they trade back again like they did last year. They went from 10 to 20. And picked up some ammunition to get Drew Locke in the second round. Elway and Russell have had some pretty good success in that second round. That seems to be the value, the real value round. And we'll see if the Broncos can get an extra pick in that round.
All right. Sounds good. Great insight as always, Michael. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There he is, our 9 News Bronco insider, Mike Kliss. Coming up next, Todd McShay came out with a mock draft that literally has, picture it, people, Mark Schlereth doing backflips. Didn't know that was physically possible, but Mark's doing them. Tell you why next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.